Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a fantastic day out there. We're going to have some fun, take you to the top of the hour. We're going to get into some cool topics a little bit later. We got prop bets for the Super Bowl we're going to go over. How big a TV do you need? We're going to get into what's going on.
Do you need a TV?
Yes.
How about that?
We'll see. So I have a big topic of Super Bowl commercials. I want to do this one with you and Melissa. We might touch on a little of it today, but we're definitely going to hit it strong on Friday,
as we lead up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got a bunch of Super Bowl topics for you on Friday we'll be getting into and having some fun with that. We'll be talking about some of this on Playmakers, too. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join us tonight for that. We'll have Playmakers for you every day this week, Wednesday and Friday this
week. Yes, when it's supposed to air.
Yes.
No preemptions this time.
But we kick off with some entertainment news, and Adrian Brody is a Oscar winner for Best Actor, and is up for Best Actor for The Brutalist.
Man.
And I think it's really a two-horse race. It's him or Timothy Chalamet that is going to win.
Probably.
I will say that in years past, this has happened many times, and then Colin Domingo wins. You know,
Dark horse, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they split the votes.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to vote for this guy, so then everybody votes for that guy.
Yeah, and then the second one, yeah, kind of just climbs right in.
But I agree with Mr. Brody that there are no bad choices this year, that all candidates are great, and whoever wins is notably good. Mm-hmm. And deserving.
Absolutely.
So I think those two performances, Timothy Chalamet's Bob Dylan, the character Adrian Brody plays in The Brutalist, mm-hmm. are the top ones, but I'm not going to complain if somebody else wins. I don't think. They're not who I voted for, but I'm okay with whoever does win.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I will say that he is making the rounds again because of him, obviously, being up for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. And on Monday's Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, he talked about something that happened. Adrian Brody had his nose mistaken for a prosthetic nose. By a makeup artist, and some other people in the industry were kind of talking about this too. There was actually, when The Brutalist, it was not very big release. It didn't have a lot of money to have a big, you know, one of these big superhero releases or something.
Right.
So when it started making the rounds, well, there was a number of people that weren't familiar with Adrian Brody.
Hmm.
And other people who may have not seen him for a while and remembered that he's got a big nose. He's got a recognizable schnoz, man.
Yeah, he sure does.
It's him, my dad, a couple of other people that are on this list. And so he just thought that he was like dumbfounded by this. Like, of all the things that have happened to him in his career, this threw him, man. He's like, no,
that would be.
quote, it's funny. They were removing this apparatus all over me, and this woman was busily working away with a solvent on my nose, and she's trying to like rub the makeup off his nose. She just worked away, and I said, are you trying to remove that? And Adrian had to tell the makeup artist that his nose does not come off.
Oh my gosh.
Quote, and then she says, oh, I'm so sorry, this is going in my diary. But
she should have get the old joke. Oh, got your nose, you know.
One of the reasons I root for this guy and I look up to this guy and I like him so much is you are not going to find many people in industry that are more like they just takes life as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could not be more
laid
like,
back, and, relaxed, yeah,
and more like appreciative of being where he is and how he gets to make a living. Like,
that's really cool.
They're as humble, and then there are people like Adrian Brody that just they get it.
Yep,
they get like I get to play make believe for
yep.
a living.
Yeah,
I get to do like he comes from a blue collar family.
Yep.
He gets this that how fortunate he is.
Yep.
And I, mm-hmm. I think one of the good guys to root for.
Absolutely.
And I have heard some people say that if he wins, he could be the least talented two-time Oscar winner ever. I will throw Hilary Swank in there for that, if you're going to have that list. But I will also point to darn near any movie Adrian Brody has ever done. Now, Adrian Brody had the same thing happen to him that a lot of actors do when they win an Oscar. You get typed. And
it
you want to
yep.
break that type. Mm-hmm. So you try to do, okay, I did the period piece. I'm going to go do an action movie now.
Right.
And this and that and everything. And then you kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit, and people may forget or know what your work
yep,
is.
Yeah, right.
But I've seen Adrian Brody's other projects. I've seen everything he's done. And you could take a movie like Predator and see – excellent acting in that. Mm-hmm. Excellent performance in that. You're seeing a guy who brings his A game every time.
Right.
Sometimes that is shown more through the writing, through the directing, or what have you. But good acting is good acting. And he's a dang good actor. He's solid. He's way better than a lot of the people that are saying that he's the worst two-time winning Oscar winner.
I don't know where that's coming from.
I get really upset about that, to be honest. For one, I don't like actors talking badly about other actors unless it's Kevin Costner. No, that's my Achilles.
I admit that.
But no, I really don't. I think it's low hanging fruit for artists to rip on artists especially in the acting game where all we have is each other. There's nobody looking out for actors than other actors,
man.
And we do this cannibalizing thing sometimes of crabs in a barrel where I want a career, so I'm going to tear down this person or whatever.
By the way, doesn't help you in negotiations, gang. You have a union for a reason, and you need to be solidarity, guys. Anyway, he's doing his job. He's working his day. He's bringing his professionalism, like you said. He's bringing his A game every time he goes out there because that's his job.
Yeah. And unlike some actors, didn't need a prosthetic nose. Should he be going? Is it typecasting to want him to see him as Sergio?
Here's a conundrum.
the big nose guy.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Cyrano.
How about this? Adrian Brody was never considered for Lord Voldemort.
How about that?
How would they have been able to?
Oh, that'd be bad. His nose. Never happened. There's not enough special. For those that don't.
Right, because Voldemort has no nose, right?
Yeah.
But, so it would have been.
For those that don't know the story, years ago, Henry Cavill, who was Superman for many, mm-hmm. many years, grew a mustache for the movie Mission Impossible that he was in. Mm-hmm. In the studio, the DC studio, were furious about this because Superman can't have a mustache. But he had filming to do. They brought him back to do filming for Superman and stuff. Now, that was on them. They should have had that done before his schedule started. Mm-hmm. But he was not going to shave that mustache off. So they digitally removed it.
Poorly.
And, oh, my God, it's so bad.
It's really bad.
For all the money they had, that it really didn't work. I like the idea of them trying to do this, like how bad it would look if Adrian Brody is Voldemort, and them trying to remove that schnoz.
Side note, in the comics, Superman has worn a full beard before. So get out of here with that.
That's actually a good point. Yeah.
Come on. Jeez.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Superman?
I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't seen the full trailer yet.
I got to admit, they pulled me in.
Oh,
I gotta admit, it got me. It looked James Gunn is very, very good at what he does.
Yes, he's very smart.
And the thing I think James Gunn is the best at is I'm not doing this just for me. This is about the audience. This is about the fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make this movie with my vision and my likes and certain things. Mm-hmm. He does this with casting, where he has his people and stuff. He casts his brother and some things like that.
Where's Nathan Fillion? I know he's going to be in it.
Definitely going to be in it. But there's also a part of him that realizes, you know, why he got into this. Because he loves this stuff. And there's other people that are out there that love it. And I'm not a big DC guy, but I think DC's in perfect hands right now.
I think they're gonna make some noise. I agree.
Henry Cavill himself got me into the Superman role, seeing his performance. Mm-hmm. This young man playing the Superman looks the part, looks like he's got the character down, and it seems like they're being able to, like, they got crypto in there, but it looks real. It looks good. It looks like, it doesn't look forced. Like, so many of the things in the comic book universe are forced. They just were. Stan Lee would admit that.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
but they're pulling it off and making it look believable in the movies. They're pulling it off and making it look as close to believable as you can. You got to go into all these things with a little bit of imagination.
Right. Let's put this out there. Remember, James Gunn was the man who brought back Howard the Duck and made him. People forget about that horrible movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
See, he can do it with I don't know what's him with animals, but he's good at it. Oh, he's really good at it.
It's perfect. Rocket from the Guardians.
Rocket or even Cosmo the dog appeared in, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, actually, yeah.
It's all James Gunn.
Great notes there, by the way. Great notes. And a great caster maybe one of my favorite casting guys in the business, mm-hmm. to the point of Howard the Duck. Having Seth Green as the voice of Howard the Duck is perfect.
Perfect casting.
The Fire Aid benefit concert last Thursday are estimated to have raised over $100 million to support recovery efforts in Los Angeles.
Wow.
This came from donations, ticket sales, sponsors, and merchandise sales. Fire Aid streamed across 28 platforms for free. It included performances from over 30 artists, Green Day, Stevie Nicks, Lady Gaga, Pink, Billie Eilish, No Doubt, and a surprise Nirvana reunion, which was amazing to watch. I got goosebumps watching it.
Oh my, I didn't even hear about that. Wow.
That was incredible. You know why you didn't hear about it, and why you partly didn't hear about it, is because every single one of these artists that were a part of this didn't make it about them. They made it about the act. They made it about the movement and what was happening there. That is not noted enough. Most people have heard of the Fire Aid benefit concert. You don't know who was a part of it, even though some of the biggest names in the world were a part of this.
Yes.
That's what can happen when artists don't just shut up and dribble. Artists don't just do what they're told. When the artists are actual human beings and actual Americans and try to help out fellow Americans.
And they use their fame, and they use their influence to do something like this. No one else could have done this way. I mean, no group could have put together to raise this kind of money. You needed the famous people in order to get people to pay attention, and then they started opening their wallets. That's why it happened.
And I want to do two things here, because we are adults and we can chew gum and walk at the same time. You can do that, everybody. And I think we need to be reminded of that from time to time.
I think so.
You can have two thoughts that are parallel in your head or different in your head at the same time. This is amazing. And every one of these artists deserve credit. And at the very same time, the Grammys were going on and they raised some money, sure. How much could they have raised if they did this?
Or like partnered, or they could have done any number of things with this. Yeah,
I it's not going to happen. But the Academy Awards, it's the same darn thing. Don't even have them. Instead, every bit of money you were going to spend on that red carpet outfit, bit of money you were going to spend, you could have put into this or other causes that could definitely need it.
Right.
And every award show going forward could be that. And I'm even going to include the Pro Bowl, the NFL Pro Bowl. every one of these could be doing. Every one of these organizations in sports or entertainment affiliates, whatever you want to call them, they all could use some goodwill. They all could use a little bit more of, hey, we are just like you. Hey, we feel you. We understand you. We understand that we are in a different position. We do a different thing for a living, but we're no different than the person pumping gas or anything like that. And instead, they've done the opposite of that, I think.
Yeah.
By going out there and putting out, you can talk all you want. Trevor Noah could have came on every break on the Grammy break during the Grammys and said, given the number and how to donate and all that. And it's still when they're still seeing Trevor Noah in $1 million suit. They're still seeing every one of these artists going up there and laughing and having fun and all this, which is great. That's how life is. We need to continue life. Life goes on.
Right.
We did it after 9/11. We got to do it after this and after every other tragedy that happens. But part of one of the things that we miss when tragedies happen is this is our opportunity to come together. This is our opportunity to show how much more we have in common than not. And instead, we have things like this happen where we miss the boat. We miss the opportunity. We could be taking advantage of this. Is anybody going to be sitting there and be like, man, I'm going to really miss the Oscars this year. I really wish they didn't turn off the Oscars. And no.
No.
People attending the Oscars wouldn't feel that way.
No.
Come on. Like, this stuff, if you really want to make an impact, if you really want to create some good, and as a side note, you want to maybe increase ticket sales. You want to maybe get more people to come to the movies. Maybe more people to download your music. Any of this, goodwill does it. Good PR does it. And you can't buy good PR. But you can with this.
Yep. I want to make a quick point.
Go ahead. The only way to buy good PR is with good actions.
Yeah.
With genuine good actions.
Exactly. I do want to point one thing out about this, okay? The Fire concert was put on by the artists themselves coming together to do it. You know, they needed to organize and all that stuff to do it. The Grammys is put on by the industry.
Yeah.
By the corporations that actually make money off of the artist kind of thing. And I think you're kind of seeing where the disconnect there is.
Yeah.
Why there was a little bit of a different thing. So just keep that in mind as well.
There is also a 90-track benefit album dropping Friday for only 24 hours. It's called Good Music to Lift Los Angeles, and it'll be available on Bandcamp.com starting at 12 midnight. It's $20.
I think I may be going and purchasing
I'm definitely doing
because it sounds amazing, and I love just it. Not only for, you know, the $20 going for what it's going for, but it's an amazing artifact of this time. People still talk about Live Aid, remember?
Yes.
Back, same thing. This is going to be one of those times people are going to be like, hey, remember that fire thing they did? That was really cool.
Every penny of this is going to help the people of Los Angeles and the people of California, in these fires. And it'll have contributions from REM, Death Cab for Cutie, Tenacious D, Modest Mouse, Interpol, and many other artists. Wow. It's going to feature previously unreleased music along with covers, remixes, and demos. And I hope that Nirvana reunion is on there.
Oh,
I hope
that
is on there.
That sounds like an amazing piece. So yeah, sign me up. I think I'm going to do that one.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yep.
Just wrapping up our entertainment section here, an Australian landmark has been destroyed. A developer has demolished the boyhood home of AC/DC's Angus and Malcolm Young.
Oh, no.
The house in Burwood, Sydney, had been added to the local register for historic homes back in 2013, but the register didn't have the legal status to actually protect it.
Oh, no.
Fans are not cool with this.
Yeah.
But the company that did it says it wasn't on purpose. The previous owner never told them about the house's cultural significance, and now they're genuinely sorry they knocked it down. Mm-hmm. And they plan to build a bar or cafe on the grounds using material salvaged from the rubble. They gotta tie in AC/DC. Well,
they have to. Yes,
it has got to be the Thunderstruck Bar or the Money Talks Bar.
Yeah, something like that. Should have like nothing but memorabilia. Yes. Maybe have, you know, like a little museum attached to it or something.
We'll shake you all night long at the. I don't know. I mean, you come up with something. I didn't do it.
Have like an actual AC/DC fan do it. We won't make you do it, James.
Yeah. to the global fan base of AC/DC, please know that we hear you, appreciate your deep admiration for this legendary band, and are devoted to the making this right. Mm. If an American company had come in and done this, it'd be bad. It'd be rough. Mm-hmm. But an Australian company
even
doing,
worse. Oh, so man. Bad.
Everything I just said about what it takes to be able to buy good PR. Like,
this is the opposite.
This is the opposite of that, man. Like when you don't live in a country, you just don't know what you don't know, and they don't know what it's like living here. Mm-hmm. But I again, through my work in entertainment and everything, I've been fortunate to know a lot of people from a lot of other countries, and I've met a lot of New Zealanders and a couple of Australians. Mm-hmm. And there are few things that they will talk more highly of than their music acts.
Yes. Some of the greatest of all time down under. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine this is going over well.
No. This is gotta be and one of the greatest acts to ever come out of Australia.
I'm not a huge AC/DC fan. They've got a couple of songs I like and everything, but I'm a gigantic Angus Young fan. I love Angus Young.
Great guitarist.
Incredible guitar player. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Like, not just incredible guitar player, but he did something that, like, few guitar players have done. Like, Chuck Berry, a couple of them. The Duck Walk, man. Like, the Duck Walk or his signature look or some of the moves that he would make. Like, this is on...
Some of the riffs he came up with.
Yeah.
Those are timeless.
AC/DC gets known for a number of things, but it is there is no AC/DC without Angus and Malcolm.
Yeah,
like that is what made the band. Yeah. To the point where they lost their lead singer and was able to replace.
And it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Didn't change a beat.
Didn't change a thing.
It's a sad story. I'd love to know how they make that right. I'm gonna try to keep up on that story.
Keep up abreast of that situation. Yes.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and we're not only going to talk about the WFHR newsletter, but we got Super Bowl prop bets to talk about.
All right,
coming up on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah. Got a funk vibe today. I like it.
Yeah. Got the Super Bowl right around the corner. And with that, you've got commercials that everybody's talking about.
Right.
You've got almost everybody. There's plenty of conversation going on. Very little about the game. Very little about who's going to win or any of that.
The game is almost like side note for anymore. I mean, and it's been going that way for a while now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also part of this is, too, when football, it doesn't get looked at this way, but it is such a regional sport. Mm-hmm. It isn't like baseball regional sport.
Of course
not. But it is a regional sport. Mm-hmm. It is one of those things where if your team isn't in it, very rarely are you going to keep paying attention to the sport.
Yeah.
And I think because of the ratings, because of the popularity of football, that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes mm-hmm. because there are so many average fans of the sport.
Right.
Baseball doesn't have as many average fans.
Right, exactly.
But they have, I think, just as many regional fans.
I think that's right.
And that's part of the reason I think people don't care as much, let alone you don't have two big markets here. You have Kansas City and Philadelphia that are medium-sized yep. markets.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a repeat. You know,
that happened just 2 years ago, we had the same thing, right? Exactly.
Very rarely in life do people want to repeat in sports. Even teams, even fans of those teams, very rarely do.
Mm-hmm.
So but we're not going to not pay attention to the Super Bowl. So we find other things to talk about,
exactly.
like commercials and all this other stuff. And while you and I are not bettors or anything, nope. There are plenty of people out there that are. And this is the new way of things in sports,
mm-hmm.
Which is still difficult for me to wrap my mind around how we've just kind of. Like overnight been okay with gambling in sports.
Right.
Like just overnight, like everybody's cool with it now. Like,
although, I mean, we've started to see it now. The MLB just fired an umpire, not because he was betting on baseball, but because he had an association with someone who did bait. And this is uncharted territory we're going into right now. We're going to start seeing things like this, I think, more and more.
Oh, more and more.
Yeah.
We're going to, because it's not even just that you dropped a dime, that you placed a bet. Now it's you shared even one little bit of information with somebody
else. With anybody. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And this, again, just leads into the point of the whole idea of the referees and the conspiracy of getting Kansas City into the Super Bowl and everything. Your team wasn't good enough. Your team, I'm sorry.
You don't have Patrick Mahomes.
You don't have Mahomes. What are you talking about? Oh, my gosh. Real quickly, everybody, speaking of sports, and I'm sorry to do a Playmakers episode here, but a trade just broke through. The Milwaukee Bucks are acquiring Kyle Kuzma as part of a deal with the Wizards for Chris Middleton.
Ooh.
It's a big upgrade for them, I think. I think that's a nice addition for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Losing a fan favorite, though,
yeah.
with Chris Middleton. But
Yeah, I like Chris Middleton. I wish him well and everything. Chris Middleton is not the player that Kyle Kuzma is.
Nor what he used to be as well. Yeah,
that's a nice
move. But Kuzma is a good player, yes.
And if you're a Bucks fan, they're making moves. That's a good thing for them. You got two of the greatest players in the NBA. You mm-hmm. should be doing that.
Yep.
And looking at prop bets, what are the prop bets in the Super Bowl? What are some of the bigger ones? But we're going to focus on the silly ones.
I love silly ones. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, these are my favorites. If I were to bet on football, this is the kind of stuff like I would bet on. Travis Kelce proposing to Taylor Swift. the actuality of like the prop bets, they got a 16.7% on that one.
They had that one last year. I remember they had that one last year. Yes, they did.
And I'm sorry, that's the probability of that happening.
Right.
16.7% mm-hmm. chance of that happening. A coach or player will cry during the national anthem. 81% of people, 81% chance of that happening.
Ooh, yeah, I can see that one. Yep.
That's got to be a good bet.
That's got to be, I'd probably take that one, yeah.
A quarterback catches a pass, a la Philly special back then when Philly and New England played and stuff.
Man, I want to see that. I love it when that happens. It doesn't happen very much, but I love it.
And here's one, and I'm bringing this one up for a reason. The color of the Gatorade poured on the winning coach. Purple has the best odds at 32.3%, which is very interesting.
To me, actually. Okay.
I don't know if I remember seeing purple used.
Well, see, now here's the interesting question because, you know, of the team colors that we're dealing with here. Do you go like the Chiefs? Would they go with orange, you know, because it's closer to their red? Or I suppose they could use red Gatorade. Ooh, that stuff would stain. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
A little side note there.
Yeah.
But that's a good one, though. I like that one. I'd be curious to see what they do.
Now, I want to hear from the audience, not just today, but the rest of the week here, 715-424-2600. And to all my Super Bowl fans and friends and everything out there, I want to hear from you, but during Playmakers. I want to hear from you
ooh,
from
5
to 6 during Playmakers tonight and Friday night.
There you go.
Join us 5 to 6 right there, your sports call-in show. For this hour, I want to hear from people who don't really care. Or, you know, I don't really have that interested in it, but maybe these might interest you. Not saying you're actually... Here's the fun thing about betting, too. I think the actual fun mm-hmm. thing. You can play, but not play. You don't actually to put down a bet.
You don't actually use money, right? Yeah.
Most of us are going to be watching this game with other people. Have the bet with other people.
Yeah.
If I win, you got to go get the food.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to get some more beer or whatever it is. Yeah, exactly.
Why does gambling always have to involve money?
Yeah.
Why does, like, I think you could be fun to have. I'm like any other human being on the planet. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, bets are, and all this can be fun, but money just muddies it all up.
Yeah.
I think money makes
money it ruins all relations. I'm telling you, no.
So. I genuinely think that, man. Yeah, like I think you could have fun with this and make these bets. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's the opening coin toss going to be? Heads or tails? You know,
there you go.
We'll have a gentleman's bet about this.
And, will it land on its edge? No.
Yeah. And if I win, you gotta watch the whole second quarter upside down. Or something like that. I don't know.
Poor person passes out. Yeah.
During the commercial breaks, you have to go to the bathroom. Like, you have to. You don't get to watch the
commercials. That one would be fun.
I mean, you can have fun with this without actually putting, like, your mortgage out there and stuff. No. I don't know. And I think the color of the Gatorade one is a perfect example.
That's an excellent one. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who will the MVP mention first? God or Jesus? 51% on that one. That's actually kind of good. That's actually an interesting one. This one is an easy one to me, and I'll help you all out here. I don't know if any gambling expert's going to be able to give you this advice. Kendrick Lamar is doing the halftime show. Kendrick Lamar mentions Drake during the halftime show, 25% odds of that. Now, this is a gray area here, because I do not believe, I 100% I can tell you that he will not say the word Drake.
No, he won't.
He will not say the name Drake. Mm-mm. But boy, Drake's presence, like, he's going to be mentioning him in quotes, because he's got about two or three songs that are involving Drake.
Oh my God.
And just shredding this man.
You know, I'm guessing that Kendrick Lamar has gotten over whatever it was, you know, that initially, you know, but now it's become like a meme thing, and he's just driving the truck through it, because it's like, hey, why not, you know?
Well, and in part because this is like, he warned him. He warned Drake, you come after me, and I'm bringing my full onslaught. And this is a guy who has won a Pulitzer Prize in writing. This is a guy, like, the first music act to ever win, like, first hip-hop act to ever win. I think Bob Dylan won one, too.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
This is the writing level this man is on, and you want to pick a fight with him. Like, that's on you. That's on Drake. And Drake shouldn't have been a creep. Like, I'm sorry, he's a creep. He's a creep. Yeah. He didn't deserve the fame he had.
Yeah.
The first celebrity cameo. Taylor Swift has the odds on this one at 33%.
In all likelihood, that's a good chance, yeah.
Interesting, though, Peyton Manning is second with 25%. And so that actually is a little bit. I think that most people would think, and I with them, Taylor Swift, easily. I'll put my money on Taylor Swift. She's certainly going to be the first celebrity mentioned or that we show.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I don't know. With the celebrity of the Mannings and stuff, that's not a bad bet either. I would still put my money on Taylor Swift.
Probably, I would. If I were betting, I would put it on Taylor Swift, yeah.
And what team will Jason Kelce represent? Obviously, Jason Kelce is retired now, but a former Philadelphia Eagle. Won a Super Bowl with that team.
Mm-hmm.
But his brother plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And since he's not a player anymore,
right,
maybe he can put his affiliation in one way or the other.
I don't know. I still see him wearing Eagle gear. It's going to be tough for him, man. It's going to be tough.
And that's the odds-on favorite. 59.3% betting line that he is going to wear Eagles green stuff.
Yeah.
I would not take that bet, because I almost guarantee you he's going to have one of those suits with the middle down.
Split in the middle. Yeah. One on each side. Yep. Yeah. The old two-faced suit. Yeah.
I can't imagine what it must be like to be the person that has to be in charge of this stuff. When I'm coming to the ticket line and I'm like, I think I won because Travis Kelce had green on, and they're like, no, he had on red and green, and you lose your bet. Mm-hmm. The person that has to, like, define these things. There's so much gray area with this stuff. The Kendrick Lamar thing with Drake is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he does Not Like Us, which he's going to do, that's about Drake. Yeah. So how is that? But if he doesn't mention the name,
the first time Travis Kelce yells at Andy Reid?
Yeah.
How about that?
I just remember that one. I will say the house always wins. The house always wins.
Just remember that one, everybody.
Yeah,
just remember that.
Let's take a call before we go to break. Good morning. You're on the show.
It should be how many times they show him with a shirt off.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You're so right about that.
Oh, excellent.
You know, it's just these prophets are so, you know, that's the thing with the prophets, because you know dang well that some of these, you know, things are watching the prophets. So if I, you know, if it's close to the 33% or whatever like that, they're showing Taylor Swift and Peyton Manning that 32%, you know dang well they're going to show somebody else. And showing Bradley, probably show Bradley Cooper first.
right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not, it's not. I feel like it gets lost on gamblers all the time. This whole thing is built for you to lose. This is not built for you to win. This is not a. This is not. None of this is built for you to win a dime, let alone win the big prize or anything like that. That's not how they stay in business.
No,
the house always wins. Like the idea of you being smarter or being able to outsmart or outluck the house. That doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
They're the house for a reason.
Odds are always in their favor, yeah.
You know how hard it is to bankrupt a casino? You know how hard, well, you know, I guess unless you're a former president.
Unless you own it, we're terrible at it.
Yeah, but it's really tough to do that.
But it's hard,
It's really, because the house always wins. Like, I don't understand it. It's one of the hardest things for me to wrap my mind around is gambling. I don't get it. I really don't. But I, you know, just be smart and safe out there with it, everybody. Kev, do you care about this stuff, like to the point where you actually put a dime on it or anything?
I would put the prop bets. I don't really. I mean, there are some guys I know that put prop bets, but they put small amounts on. You know, a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. They don't try to put too much on.
I think that's
on
smart.
Those prop bets because. You just never, I mean, yeah, you could hit on some of the prop bets, but man, you're taking a bigger risk. And if I put money down, it'd probably be either be like on the over unders or maybe the points to get, which I get, you know, right now it's like Kansas City favored by a point and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you bet on that? I mean, that's just.
Yeah. I'm looking at the one of the more popular prop bets is how long the national anthem is going to last. And John Batiste is going to be singing it, by the way, so that'll be good. Okay. He's a great singer.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the over at 120 seconds. That is the under 120 seconds, so those are the options. And it looks like most of the betting line is going towards the over 120 seconds.
So, right, which is just over 2 minutes. It's supposed to be only there's a meter to it. It's only supposed to be like 2 minutes and something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but we'll see.
Look at what we've done with this, though. This is the national anthem.
I know.
We're supposed to be locked in, paying attention, hand on heart, caring about this. And what are the majority of Americans, or a lot of
looking
Americans,
at their phones.
Looking at their phone,
counting the seconds. Yep.
How is that right? How is that?
That's where we are right now.
Yeah. Kev, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. Save that voice. I'm going to need you on Playmakers later. I'm going to do it.
Okay. Sounds good,
you
guys. Have a great
day. You too. Appreciate you, Kev. Appreciate all of you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back after our news break on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
They call me Dr. Worm. Good morning, how are you?
Seth and James here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, I don't know if this happens as much as it used to, but I know there was a time in our lives, maybe when we were younger, Seth, that it seemed like when the Super Bowl week came around, dads around America were buying new TVs.
That would happen, yeah. Now that I think about it, you're right, yeah.
You look back at the sales of TVs in the late 90s, early aughts, or even in the early 90s, and there was a rise of that. There was a lot of that going on. And, of course, it was always the big TV, you know, how big of a TV you could have and everything. And then flat screens came around, and we're putting them on your walls and all these different things. TVs have evolved quite a bit over the years. Noteworthy to them, big has always been the thing. Oh, can I get bigger
and better? Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool to see where things are going now, where more and more people are like, yeah, I want a big TV, but I want one that has high definition. It's more about the graphics, the 5K, the 21K.
Little details, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. It seems like a lot of people do buy a new TV for the Super Bowl, and there are a lot of deals on big screen TVs around this time of year for that. But a new survey asked people, if money wasn't an issue, what is the largest TV you'd put in your house? I think that's a really interesting question.
It is.
I want to bring this one to the audience. 715-424-2600. Money is not an option. You got a blank check. Not that anybody pays with a check anymore. That couldn't be an older rep. You have a blank debit card.
No, I don't know. People will still be using that when checks are completely gone.
True. Yeah. Very true. And they'll be in front of you in line.
Yeah.
So if money wasn't an issue, how big would you go? And surprisingly, many people don't follow the bigger is better philosophy. 20% 80% of people said that they wouldn't go any bigger than 65 inches, which is the most popular answer.
Okay.
Which is still gigantic, by
the way.
That's
still a big TV. I think I might have one of those. I don't remember. Mm. But anyway,
18% said that they'd go up to 75 inches, and another 12% said 85 inches, and 6% said 100 inches. And 7% said that they'd grab the biggest one they could find. On the flip side, 13% of people said that their ideal TV is 50 inches or less. Hmm. And another 11% said that they wouldn't go any higher than 55 inches.
Okay.
They didn't ask why people would prefer smaller TVs, but not everyone has the space for a big one.
Ah, see?
Or the desire to make their whole home about the TV. Everything revolves around the TV.
My TV home, yes.
Let's find out what you think. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning. I wouldn't go any bigger than a 50-inch. We don't have that big of a house or that big of a wall there, and I'm only 8 feet across from it, so don't need no 65-inch TV.
Right.
On
that's
my
right,
way.
Yeah.
100% with you on this.
He's kind of has this point that I was making. It really depends on the room size that you're putting the TV in, because you can do too big. And like you said, you're sitting too close and just doesn't look right kind of thing. You need to kind of do it to the room.
I find it funny the idea of you buy a TV that's so big that you have to get a new home, that you have to get a new apartment or something like that. It is the definition of what is too big.
Too big is too big.
There's certain things that just don't. Not everything is better bigger. TVs are one of them. I think I'm with you, sir. 50 inches, that's plenty size. That is mine is I believe a 45 or a 50 inch TV, and I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, I got a 46-inch Sony, and I think Sony is probably the best. The picture on there is just beautiful.
They are great.
That's very nice.
I will say, though, if I had the kind of money and the space and all that, I've always thought that those home theater kind of things are pretty cool to, like, have a projector in your house basement or whatever. Like,
I'm saying this is different because if you can afford, like, a whole room to set up, like, just go, like, whole hog and make, like, an actual movie screen in your house, right? Actual projector and actual seats, you know?
And that is something that I have always thought is kind of cool.
That would be cool.
But that's a whole different thing. That's
it is. It's not a TV. It's different. Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm 100% with you, sir. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us are.
That's true.
Especially when you grew up go ahead, sir.
No, I was just going to say thank you for my call.
Thank you. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you. Don't want to keep you too long.
Exactly.
But I do think there's something, too, to be said about the generation he grew up in and how we grew up and where we were. None of us, either generation, really grew up with these big, gigantic TVs and how common they were.
Yep.
For the younger generations and a lot of people that were entering this survey, this is old news to them.
Right.
They don't care as much about the size of the TV. They want the 51K. And you know, the newest graphics
go back and look at pictures of the original TVs, how small they were. The screens were tiny. Imagine, you know, this has got to be something crazy.
Let's take one more call before we go to break. Good morning, you're on the show.
Nope, I think we lost him.
Call back 715-424-2600.
All right.
I would we're both pretty much on the same page.
I think so,
everybody. I don't know. I will say this though. I wouldn't mind watching the game on somebody else's 75-inch TV or something like that.
Then you don't have to pay for it.
You got to find the room for it.
Find someone to invite you over. You know,
where do you even put that? Where do you even put that? I can't imagine. Like, I guess. I mean, you got the kind of money and the kind of home for it. But I also love the idea, because I feel like everybody had this friend or knew somebody in high school that had a crummy car, but like a billion-dollar sound system.
Yes. 100%.
So I like the idea of that for this. Somebody in like a ratty apartment, but they got like a 75-inch TV. I don't know why I like that.
It doubles as a bed. I also sleep on it.
Yes, it is my plates.
Yeah, it's my table.
It's everything. Taking a time out. We'll be back with more show. Morning Show at WFHR. Now is when we play.
Go back.
Welcome back, everybody.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby.
Coming home, bringing it home. We're going to take it to the top of the hour, wrap up this show. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Thanks for the calls. That was fun.
Yeah, lots of good calls today.
A lot of great calls. Appreciate that from everybody out there. And appreciate everybody getting in on the Love on the Air Text to Win contest we had a lot of fun with. Again, be listening at the top of the 10 a.m. and 2 and 4 o'clock hours.
Yeah, those will be coming up. Yep.
We'll be giving you that keyword to text to us through the Civic Media app. Get in on this one and have some fun. A big thank you to our friends at Johnson & Sons Jeep, sponsoring the text line. We appreciate them doing that. And so many of these other great businesses and sponsors, we have a part of this.
Yep, for our great grand prize that we got. So many really cool items in that. My gosh.
Encourage you to go to civicmedia.us and check out the entire list of prizes and everything. It's all waiting for you there. Everybody go ahead and check that out. And thank you again to everybody playing along and to everybody a part of this. All these partners, these businesses, all of our salespeople out there working so hard on this. And a special shout out to our team that has worked incredibly hard behind the scenes to pull this off.
Right.
Nice work by everybody.
Yep.
Real quick note on the TVs. Seth and I were talking, and I was reminded of a moment when I was a kid walking through the department store, and I see this, and I'm like, well, that's it. We're never going to get higher than this. That's a TV with a VCR in it. A TV with a VCR to get out of here.
The combo was just mind-boggling.
That
man.
Is the height of technological evolution.
We'll never pass that.
We will never surpass this. And like a week later, we came out with flash screens.
DVDs all
like,
of a sudden.
Yeah, right? And it didn't matter anymore. Like, this shows what I know about that subject. So I do want to mention our WFHR newsletter. This is one of our favorite things we're doing around here. We're having so much fun with this, and our team is working so hard on it. It is your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news. Sports, weather, different interesting things going on in our community, an opportunity to put the spotlight on different individuals and different causes and different things going on in our community.
Yes.
It is such a great resource for you, and it's free. All you got to do is go to WFHR.com, sign up for the newsletter, takes a couple seconds, and every Thursday at noon, boom, right there in your inbox, it's going to show up.
It is indeed, and there's nothing like it right now. Sadly, there's nothing else like it in the area that has this kind of news, so you're really going to need it.
There are a lot of great resources out there, and I shout each one of them out. I want to work with them, not against them or anything like that. But I will say with a proudly that nobody is covering Central Wisconsin like we are.
No.
Nobody is covering the amount of bases or doing what we're able to do.
That's right.
And I say that out of pride of our team. I say that out of somebody who knows how hard our team is working.
Yes.
So please check out the WFHR newsletter. Support local. That includes things like this. You can go to WFHR.com to sign up for it and get that newsletter right there. It'll be there tomorrow.
Yep.
Looking forward to it. And keep on listening for the Love is on the Air contest.
Love is on the air.
It's a lot of fun. We're having a blast with this one. Everybody, keep on listening for that. That's going to be fun. Some good stories of the day coming up here I wanted to get to. We will in a second.
Okay.
And on Friday, we'll be talking Super Bowls, Super Bowl commercials.
Got to get everyone ready. For the big game,
got a couple of good topics for us on Friday we're going to have some fun with. But for now, let's look at some good stories of the day locally, Seth. We got some great local events going on.
Well, today is Wednesday, James, and that means one thing at the Elks Lodge.
Clear my throat.
Yep.
Bingo!
Absolutely. Bingo tonight at the Elks Lodge, number 693, 430 West Jackson Street. Doors open at 5 p.m. Bingo starts at 6:30 p.m. Be there, or be square, as the kids like to say. And also tomorrow, if you're looking for some live music, and who isn't, from 2 to 4 at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, 2651 8th Street South. Our good friend Pete Revelle and Four on the Floor will be doing their jazz thing like they do every first and third Thursday over at the CWCC. It is free admission, but of course, you're going to want to tip those guys for taking some time out to entertain you, so make sure you do that as well. It's going to be a fun time. It is every time that Four on the Floor is playing.
Go ahead and check that out. Buy local, support local, including the arts, everybody, and our great friends over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center working so hard.
They got
there.
A really cool exhibit, by the way, right now as well with local artists. So, yeah,
check that out. It is Wednesday, and we have got a great lineup for you tonight. Be sure to join us at 5 for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Post Printing and Family Natural Foods. Appreciate both those businesses.
Absolutely.
Join us tonight for Playmakers. We're going to have some fun. We're going to be talking about free agency, some of the trades going on in the NBA, talking about the Super Bowl, of course, and talking about what you want to talk about. It's your show. everybody. Call up and join the conversation, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about sports-wise.
Man, this was the most boring baseball offseason I can remember. My gosh.
It's so dull.
Can't wait for the game to start.
I did come across a great article on Nestor Cortez that I encourage people to check out at MLB.com. Seth and I will talk about it on Friday.
Yep.
We'll get to that more of that.
Cool.
For tonight at 6:10, Wisconsin women's basketball hosting USC. The best player, maybe the best player, if not the best, the second best player in women's college basketball, Juju, is a place for USC.
Mm-hmm.
And they just came off to a loss. They're going to be coming into this game hot. And the Lady Badgers, I think, are going to be ready for it.
This will be a good game.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good game. Yep. Tonight right here at 6:10. Be sure to check it out, everybody. Coming up in just a couple of days, about 5 days away from a Lincoln High School concert, Lincoln High School's band concert going to be taking place on the 10th at 6:30 over at the Performing Arts Center in Central Wisconsin, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. Be sure to check that out, everybody.
Yes.
And, of course, other great local things going on. We'll be telling you about those as we get closer to them. A wildlife rescue worker in Australia saved a very large bat that fell into a hotel swimming pool and couldn't get out.
Ay, ay, ay.
And there is a video of it that is pretty fun. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty great.
Very large bats. Okay.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. A study found bingo night could help your grandparents stay sharp.
Wow. Look at that. What a tie-in, man.
Mm-hmm. Seniors who stay social through things like bingo and dinner with friends develop dementia 5 years later than people who are less social.
Wow.
Going to church also does this as well.
It's just being out there, doing stuff with people. It's, man, it's not only is it good for your soul, it's good for your health.
Yeah.
It's even good for your health, everybody. Yeah.
And I've got like five or six different stories here about individuals helping out, a woman rescuing another woman who was trying to save her dog on a frozen lake.
Oh, wow.
And firefighters and police officers showed up. A deer rescued from an ice-covered Oregon lake.
Wow.
Firefighters and police officers showed up. It's just a note to all of our officers out there and all of our firefighters and everybody and all the extra work that they do this time of year. We appreciate.
Especially around here.
And I'm not just saying that because Sheriff Sean Becker will be with us for an hour today. That's not at all. I'm not at all trying to get points.
Was he listening in?
Do you think he heard that?
I don't know. He might have.
Be sure to join us for Midday Magazine today from 4 to 5. We're going to have fun. Sheriff Sean Becker will be with us for the entire hour. Looking forward to that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We will have Terry Johns in with us tomorrow, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties. Not only will we be having some fun getting the band back together, but we're also going to be doing Love on the Air contest.
It's coming up.
Be listening for that, everybody. Again, you have got coming up here at the different hours that we're going to be doing this and having some fun with it.
8, 10, 12, and 2 every day.
Thank you, Seth. It was at the top of my tongue. It's right there.
That's all right.
Have a great day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.